Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, if you're trying to reach us on the phone lines or text lines, looks like we're experiencing a couple of technical problems. We're working to resolve those as quickly as possible, so just hang tight with us. 855-752-4842. Again, that's 855-752-4842. We're also working to get my co-host this first hour of the show, Angela Lang of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, back on the line as well. Before the break, I promised you some breaking news about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Just today, a bit before noon today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court delivered a big win for environmentalists in their fight here in the state of Wisconsin over forever chemicals. The liberal-controlled court ruled that state regulators can force landowners to clean up emerging pollutants such as PFAS before they are officially designated as hazardous substances. PFAS are this group of chemicals, again, nonstick pans, stain-resistant carpeting, fire retardants, all that kind of stuff. In fact, many foams that were designated for use in fighting fires, specifically at airports, really difficult fires to point out, those also contained these category of chemicals referred to generically as PFAS or forever chemicals. These have been around for decades. They're all over our nation's air, water, and soil. Now, what led to this lawsuit was a dry cleaner in Oconomowoc who was testing or was ordered to test his groundwater for PFAS. The order came from the DNR, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. But the DNR couldn't tell the dry cleaner which compounds the dry cleaner needed to test for or what levels would be considered dangerous. Now, some of that is because the federal government has been incredibly slow to make those designations itself, leaving many states in a bind, despite the fact that PFAS is all over our communities. So the dry cleaner decided, alongside the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Association, which is basically one of the biggest lobbying groups in the state, to sue. And again, here the issue was before a chemical is designated, okay, designated as hazardous, can the DNR require landowners, business owners, to remediate? Again, the answer today from the Wisconsin Supreme Court is a yes. Justice Janet Protasiewicz said this, writing for the majority, quote, Wisconsin's spills law safeguards human health and the environment in real time by directly regulating parties responsible for a hazardous substance discharge. The DNR has explicit authority to enforce a threshold for reporting the discharge of hazardous substances. Now, here's this place where, as a pragmatist, as someone who wants to think about, hey, how are these laws going to work? As someone that wants businesses to succeed, but wants businesses to succeed responsibly in a way that doesn't create what us economists call negative externalities. That is, negative impacts that we as a society have to pay for, whether directly or indirectly, that are not built into the price of the product that the business is creating. Here's my take on this. How does the dry cleaner do what the DNR is asking if he doesn't know what to test for or what levels are hazardous? I also think that it absolutely should be the case that the DNR should be able to require testing to do these things before certain compounds are designated as hazardous. What, do we have to wait until the federal government figures it out? We've got a body of federal legislation, or the entire administrative process within the DNR can address these particular compounds? What happens to the rest of us as we wait for that? If we have good evidence that a particular compound is hazardous to our health, we need to be able to ask businesses to stop, you know, putting it into the land. But the how matters here. We need to be able to permit businesses to assess whether or not their business model works given these sorts of environmental threats. So again, incredibly important here, this decision coming down today from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It, of course, then links up, as I mentioned before, to the rationale of Senate and Assembly Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin for a set of bills this legislative session that they're proposing to get around the governor's veto. One of the rationales that was offered by Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux is that the reason that they're doing this to avoid the governor's veto is the governor's veto last legislative session of, again, the MAGA regime's proposed expenditure plan for these PFAS remediation monies that, in the governor's view, and the view of many environmentalists here in the state, actually created a loophole for businesses to get out of their responsibility for remediation, for testing, and reporting to the DNR. So that was the dispute there. Again, this is according to reporting by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They write this: Republican lawmakers are passing bills this legislative session that create new programs that typically would be included in the state budget without funding, remember this, without funding to carry them out in an attempt to avoid the governor's partial veto authority. The question is, are Republicans looking for the credit, but none of the responsibility for figuring out how to pay for things? And by the way, I worked in local government for a long time. We call these things from the state unfunded mandates. Are Republicans just trying to shift the burden of responsible government off the state budget and onto local governments? We're going to have a guest to talk about that very thing. But coming up next, we have got the communications director from Kids Forward here in Wisconsin. We're going to talk